Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Here today, gone tomorrow. That happens to a lot of things in life, including scientific theories. There can be theories about the world that are popular, if not universal, that end up being tossed aside, consigned to the rubbish bin, the ash heap of history, because they turned out to be false. That is what we're going to talk about today here on Free for All Friday. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker Trent Horn. This is the Council of Trent podcast. Monday and Wednesday, we talk Catholicism, apologetics, dialogues, debates, all kinds of fun stuff. But on Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about, oftentimes eclectic forms of knowledge that will only suit you in maybe a random game of Trivial Pursuit, watching Jeopardy with a friend, or if you just want to feel you have something smart to contribute to a conversation you're having at the local pub with people. Or maybe there's a question at pub trivia you want to answer, and this maybe the Council of Trent will help you. Who knows? All right, let's hop right into them. These are seven discredited theories. Start with the first one, and that would be rain follows the plow. What does that mean? The phrase was popularized by Charles Dana Wilbur as a summary of a 19th century belief that human agriculture changed weather patterns. The idea was that when human beings farm the land, areas that are arid or semi-arid, that increases humidity in the atmosphere. Maybe it releases water or some other substance from the soil. That brings clouds. That brings rain. Charles Dana Wilbur put it this way: God speed the plow. By this wonderful provision, which is only man's mastery over nature, the clouds are dispensing copious rains. The plow is the instrument which separates civilization from savagery. It converts a desert into a farm or garden. To be more concise, rain follows the plow. But no, it doesn't. In the 19th century, during westward expansion, when this was noticed in places, it happened to be a coincidence. People who were farming particular regions might have had an unusual amount of rainfall. They remembered it, and they attributed it to the plowing activities, when the two are actually not related. Eventually, the theory fell out of fashion when the results could not be replicated in areas where people would go and plow the land, and you did not get above average rain, and they keep plowing and plowing the land, upsetting the topsoil, which actually makes it weak and gets it kicked up into the air and creates conditions like the Great Dust Bowl in the early 20th century, described in novels like John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath. Number two, maternal impression. According to this theory, it set out to explain the existence of birth defects and congenital disorders. The theory stated that an emotional stimulus experienced by a pregnant woman could influence the development of the fetus. For example, it was supposed that the mother of the elephant man, I think his name was Merrick, he had these big gray growths all over his body, and people thought he was an animal. There's the movie The Elephant Man. The crowd's chasing him, and he says, "I'm not an animal, I'm a human being." So they said that maybe he became the elephant man because his mom got scared by an elephant, and that's what caused the disorder. Now, you might laugh about this theory, maternal impression, but it's not that far off if you think about it. Pregnant women, things they do affect their unborn children. You take, fetal alcohol syndrome. Thalidomide was a drug in the 50s and 60s to reduce nausea in pregnancy, that if you took it during a certain point in pregnancy, would cause children to have birth defects, like being born without arms or legs. Even women who experience great amounts of stress in pregnancy, that generates increased levels of cortisol. And their unborn children, if they are exposed to excessive maternal cortisol, can have increased fussiness, negative behavior, or fearfulness in infancy. So what happens to pregnant women does affect their children. But just because a mother sees something unusual, it doesn't mean that that exact unusual thing is going to apply to their children. If you get scared by a dog, it doesn't mean your kids are going to look like dogs or something like that. But your increased cortisol could have a negative effect on the children. You'll find in a lot of these, when we get to some of these discredited theories, it's not that they were totally wrong. It's that they were onto the right idea, but they were sidetracked by a major inaccuracy in the theory. Here's the third one, phlogiston. Phlogiston was a theory that the reason things combust, why do you have something, you have a particular powder and you ignite it, and it explodes. What causes that? How does fire, why does when I put fire into some powders, nothing happens? And I light a match, stick it into some powders, nothing happens. Light a match, stick it into other powders, there's an explosion. Why is that? Why do some metals, if you leave them outside, they're fine, they can withstand the elements, but other metals rust? What explains the difference between the two things? And the claim was, well, some substances have a material within them called phlogiston. It comes from the Greek word for burning up, the Greek phlogiston. Phlogiston, yeah, so phlogiston, phlogiston is the Greek word for burning up, or phlox is the Greek word for flame. Idea was proposed by Becker and Stahl in 1667. However, the theory went out of fashion in the 18th century with the discovery of what really causes combustion and rusting, and that would be the element oxygen. Oxygen on the good old periodic table of elements, discovering the process of oxidation and how oxygen leads to combustion. One reason that phlogiston was disposed, it was challenged by the fact that in many cases, when things combust, they actually gain weight instead of losing it, which wouldn't explain that the phlogiston that was already in the metal is burnt up. Rather, it's the addition of something that causes the combustion, and that would be oxygen. So the phlogiston theory, no more. Number four is the emission theory of vision. This is the idea that the reason we are able to see things is not because photons, light, enters our eyes and hits our retinas and nerves and is converted into a signal that our brain interprets. So this is not the theory that the light comes into our eyes. The prevailing theory prior to the understanding of the speed of light and photons and things like that was that our eyes create the light. That the reason we're able to see is like our eyes emit light. Like they are, you know, that's where vision is possible. Obviously, there's other things that create light as well. But the reason we are able to see is that our eyes emit a kind of light or vision that allows us to see things. That's what causes visual perception of objects. This may have been what Jesus was alluding to when he says in Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, the body will be full of light. Well, let's see, what did he... And then I'll actually bring that up right now. Matthew 6:22. The light of the body is the eye. If the eye, I don't want the King James version of this computer. I don't want the 1611. Give me something that doesn't sound all old Englishy. Matthew 6:22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is not sound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Jesus obviously is giving a spiritual truth here, but he also may have been referring to, obviously he's giving a spiritual truth, but it may be based on a popular opinion of the time, which believed in the emission theory of light. Doesn't mean Jesus was wrong, because he's accommodating teachings to the knowledge of people at the time. I like that Cardinal Caesar Baronius, when he's talking about scripture and what it says about the earth and its creation, he says that scripture tells us how to go to heaven, not how the heavens go. He was a cardinal during the time of Galileo. But I point this out here. It's like when Jesus said the mustard seed is the smallest of all the seeds. Technically, that's not true. There are smaller seeds in the world, but that's probably what people that he was speaking to believed. And so he's giving them not a lesson in botany. He's giving them a lesson in theology using an example that they can wrap their heads around, like how tiny the mustard seed is. So I just bring that up, that the emission theory was a very popular one for a long time, thinking that the reason we're able to see is because our eyes emit a kind of light that shines out into the world and allows us to see. And one reason that people thought this was the case is that sometimes when you look out at night, you see animals looking back at you, and it's creepy because their eyes are reflective, right? I mean, you've seen like a cat's eyes at night. I've looked at some videos recently of alligators in the Florida Everglades. And they got footage of them, like 10 alligators all sitting in the water, their glowing eyes looking at you, and it's just terrifying. But you see some animals have reflective eyes at night, and that could give the idea that the light, source of the light actually that allows us to see, is coming from our eyes rather than all of the light going into our eyes itself. So that's the emission theory of vision, which was eventually discredited with understanding the true nature of light, photons, the speed of light, things like that. All right, number five, the island of California. California! The island of California refers to a long-held European misconception dating from the 16th century that the Baja California Peninsula was not part of North America, but of mainland North America, but rather a large island spelled on early maps as Kali space Fornia, separated by a strait known as the Gulf of California, one of the most famous cartographic errors in history, propagated on many maps during the 17th and 18th centuries. Eventually, it was corrected by Jesuit explorers. So by the Jesuits who were ministering in Mexico and the southwestern United States, they were going around trying to find overland routes. So the problem was, if you think about it, look at a map, look at California, look at Mexico, and you see that little sticky thing coming out of Mexico, the peninsula, Baja California. My wife and I would always joke, there was a movie. When we took our kids to the Natural History Museum in San Diego, they had a whole movie about Baja California, and the woman narrating it would always, Baja is my home, Baja. And so now whenever this comes up, we just can't help ourselves. It's Baja California. I love Natural History Museum in San Diego. It's a great place. But you look at it, it's a long, thin peninsula. You could be mistaken for thinking, you go around it, oh, wow, this must be some giant island. Where does the, you know, you would think, you know, where does it end? Where does it come around? So people mistakenly thought that was actually an island there, rather than, because it's a very, very long peninsula, rather than a peninsula as it is. So these Jesuit missionaries actually helped to correct that cartographical, that map error. The island of California is not the case. California is not an island. Maybe it should be, given how they govern things. That's a free-for-all Friday topic for another time. Two more discredited theories here. Number six is the miasma theory. This is the miasma theory of disease. It's an obsolete medical theory that held that diseases like cholera, chlamydia, or the Black Death were caused by miasma or bad air. Miasma is the ancient Greek word for pollution, also known as night air. So this is the idea that the thought was, and remember what I said before, that the theories are not totally wrong. Because a lot of times when we do get sick, it's something in the air, right? The whole thing with COVID, right? It's, oh, it's airborne. And it's true. There was virus particles, you know, COVID-19 virus that is in the air that you can breathe in. There are some diseases that are spread. They are respiratory illnesses that are spread as aerosol through the air, but not every disease. Some diseases are spread through contact, through physical touch with things. People thought that was the case with COVID at the beginning, right? Remember when Dr. Sanjay Gupta told you to bleach your vegetables at home because they might have COVID? No one's saying that he's promoting disinformation. I'm really itching to have an episode where I just rant about COVID, but we'll see. We'll see if I choose to do that. But if you think about it, think about miasma theory. It's not that far off. You're wondering, why is everybody getting sick? If you come across a sick person or a dead person, they smell. Oh, it's noxious. Must be some kind of bad air related to them. And if you smell bad air, it's probably air that smells bad, probably has bad things in it. You know, it could have fecal matter, some kind of methane gas, things that you probably shouldn't breathe that you've evolved to want to stay away from. And so it's not that far off. And so there's this thought that, oh, at night, like, in the swampier areas, maybe like fog or mist rolling off of that, and that's the bad air that makes you sick. Then eventually, of course, with cholera outbreaks, you had, I think his name was Stone. I'm trying to remember. I've talked about him before. He helped to discover that what was causing cholera was not bad air spreading people. Cholera was not a respiratory illness. It was an illness that was caused by contaminated water, specifically water pumps that had been drilled or, you know, drilled into the ground too close to latrines and septic systems and things like that. So miasma theory died out when people saw that what made you sick is not the air itself, it's if the air has germs or some other kind of pathological substance within it. But that for a long time, miasma was the prevailing theory. Here's the last one. I don't have a lot on this, but I just thought it is a weird one. I have number seven, gotta have seven here. It's gross. Tooth worms. Apparently, this goes back to like ancient Babylon. There was a belief that the cause of cavities and tooth decay were little worms that would get in your teeth. Oh, that just makes me feel weird. Oh, get it out. I feel like it's in my mouth now when I talk about it. Tooth worms, like these little worms in your mouth that get in your teeth and rot your teeth away. And so that was a theory for a long time to explain dental problems. No one's exactly sure the precise genesis of it or what caused people to think that. But dental experts and others have noticed that when teeth are removed, sometimes there's a pulpy material there that can look like a worm. So let's say a guy had bad teeth and his teeth eventually just fell out, and you looked at the cavity that was remaining and there's just like this little pulpy thing. Could look like a worm. Maybe the worms got his teeth. So brush your teeth. Brush your teeth. Floss your teeth. We've learned these things. We might have believed that, you know, hand washing was not for gentlemen. Semmelweis was the guy who proposed that maybe doctors should wash their hands. And the other doctors said, that's rubbish. A gentleman doesn't need to wash his hands. He can investigate a dead body and deliver a baby and nothing will go wrong. Except Semmelweis discovered that doctors who handled dead bodies and then delivered babies more likely had women and children die or get sick because they transferred the germs from the dead body to the women. And, you know, it just didn't go with the scientific mentality at the time. And it took a renegade to show that they were wrong. And that's what we have to do sometimes. Here today, gone tomorrow. Keep your eyes and ears open. Follow the evidence where it leads. Remember, there is no such thing as the science. There is science. There are scientists. Sometimes they agree and they disagree, but no one should hubristically think that if we criticize them, they're criticizing the science. I'm talking about a certain person. His name rhymes with Mauchy. Haven't heard him a lot recently, so I should just do the COVID episode. I just should. We'll see. We'll see. But hey, those were seven outdated theories. Rain follows the plow, maternal impression, phlogiston, emission theory, the island of California, as Arnold would say, miasma theory, and tooth worms. I hope that edified you a bit today, and I hope that you have a very blessed weekend.
If you liked today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.